Some people says, I want to become a pro. I want to make a lot of money and start and leave my job and all these kinds of things. And I said, what in the hell would you want to become a handicapper for, a pro in this particular business and leave your job? What kind of job you got and how much money are you making, you know? And the guy will tell me, and I said, well, why would you want to leave that to get in this particular business? You think this is so easy that you can just walk out to the racetrack and take the money without any effort of what is it, you know? Well, I know you're making it doing this, and I would like to do it too. Don't you approve of it? I said, yes. But it was not my intentions to become a professional handicapper. It was never my intentions to do this for a living. Never. Not in my wildest dream did I believe that I would do that. I was interested in learning about thoroughbred racing and enjoying thoroughbred racing, the different aspects of it, learning how to handicap the races and figuring out why certain horses win and learning from other people who had been in the business just how to go about this, learning about it and how to do it. Not that I was going to go out to the racetrack and stand around all the afternoon, you know, and watch horses run. That was no big thing to me. And I loved to read the books on thoroughbred racing. I learned a lot from them. And I loved to go to workshops and to seminars, the same as many of you do here. Now, your attitude about this thing is going to have a lot to do with how well you do with it or what you do with it. Now, if you love to go to seminars, you like to go to the workshops, you like to be involved with people and in thoroughbred racing, you like to sit and talk and exchange ideas, it's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful thing. You like to call some of the people that you know that are in Perico and talk about this particular business. And talk about something that you learned, and talk about something that you don't know about, and you like some explanations. This is a wonderful experience. But if you're going to button your heads up against a wall and says, hey, I want to go out to the track, and I want to make $5,000 a week, and all this kind of stuff, and you find out that, hey, you've got to work like hell to do it, and then you get all disappointed with it. Now, the work comes easy to me, and some of the other people that I know that do this professionally, the work comes easy to them because they've done the work so long and they just acquired an attitude about that I'm just going to do the work or I'm not going to go out there. And if that's the only way you can make any money at. You're going to have to do the work. You cannot go out there half-cocked and make any money in this particular business. You got to do all the work. You got to do exactly what you're told. Now, another thing that comes into play is the fact that many of us come out of environments, whereas they were very stern and strict environments, and it's very hard for us to deviate or to make any changes in whatever we're doing. We've been straight liners. We say, hey, my dad taught me to do this. I went this way, and this is the way it is, and it's hard for me to change from that. And when you get into this particular business, you find you got to be always changing. And that has sometimes become very a problem for many people. When you have to change your way of thinking, you know, your synergism user, and suddenly say, hey, we got energy. Well, what the heck am I going to do with that? I'll just learn how to do synergism. You know, if you're going to be in this business, you've got to be flexible. You've got to get away of this rigid way of thinking, the straight line stuff. You got to get away from it because this particular business does not allow that. It does not allow it. You got to continuously be learning. That's why we come to these seminars. I've been going to seminars for years and years. I come to all the seminars at Howard with the methodology. I come to them and I learn something. I enjoy them. I enjoy talking to you. Sometimes we sit in the lounges and around. We exchange ideas. We talk about different things. And it's a wonderful feeling. Do you get that out of the seminars? If you get that, that is worth your coming to them. If you learn something about the business, you want to get into the business. Maybe eventually you're going to have to, you might have to do it one day for a living. You might not have anything else that you can do. Well, you know something about it, and you can go do it. But your attitude is a very important thing in this particular business. The way you perceive what is going on around you and your acceptance. Now, when Howard gave me energy, I just took energy and started using it. I didn't question whether anything about it, you know, is it better than synergism or all these kind of questions. I didn't ask any questions, I started using it. And here a few weeks ago, Howard called me up on the telephone and says, I'm going to send you cage in. You'll probably get in 3 or 4 days, you're going to get it. I just said, okay. I didn't even know how to get into the program when I got it. But I figured out how to get into the program, and I looked at it, and I ran a few races and for a few days, experimenting with it, and then I put it on the computer on the 16th day of June, and I hit 8 out of 9 that day with it. Because I just believe that this is the way to go. I've already conceived the ideas that this is the only way to make it in this business. It's through the methodology. There's no other way that you're going to make it. You go up and down the ladder. If you know, you get in conventional handicapping and you got 15 straight losers, and it'll drive you insane. Whatever you knew, you're going to forget it. Believe me. I see guys at the racetrack doing it all the time. Anything that they thought they knew, and if it goes the other direction for a few days, they just go to pieces. And some of the guys in the methodology are the same way. You know, they lose 3 races, they just go completely berserk. They have to go out and buy another program. Hey, I bought this long shot program here, Mary. You want to look at it? Why do you think I'd want to look at that? Well, you know, it's... Are you making any money with it? No. Well, why do you want me to look at it? Well, I just thought you might want to look at it. You know, I went back and ran some races, and I see 2 weeks ago I hit a horse paid $92. How many of you have since you've been using? Well, I didn't make it with the methodology. You know, I was doing all right for a few days, and then I lost 3 in a row. It like to drove me insane. Do you think you're going to make any money with this program? Well, I'm getting there. Got him want to die with it. But that's the attitude he's taking. You can't take that beating. You know, if you can't take that beating, then you got to say, well, I like thoroughbred racing. I like to go to the races, and I like to win. If that day I can win, okay. And if I don't, you know, I'm not going to go out there and bet the farm on it. Races, you know, I'm going to go out there and bet what I know this within an amount that I can afford, with the bankroll I have set aside for my thoroughbred racing. And then if I win today, okay, and if I lose today, okay, I'll go back tomorrow. Or I'll go back next week, whatever the time that I have available to go to the racetrack. And you acquire that kind of attitude, you're going to do a lot better. If you just relax with it, just relax with it. Don't go beating your head up against the wall. You're going to become a pro in 90 days. I'm going to make my living at this. 90 days, I'm going to be doing it. Some people call me up and says, hey, I've been using the methodology for 90 days, and I'm not making a living at it yet. And I say, is that right? But what do I do, Marion? What were you doing before that 90 days ago, before you started using that line? What were you doing there? Well, I was counseling, you know. I had a job counseling. I got a degree in something that allows me to do counseling. I counsel people who have trouble in their marriages or what have you, you know. Well, why don't you just keep on doing it, you know, and just you set this kind of aside, you know, work at it when you have the time, and eventually you're going to get there if you're supposed to get there. If you don't have the potential to develop in this and the skills to develop the skills that you need to become a professional handicapper, well, it's never going to happen. But you can enjoy thoroughbred racing. You can enjoy going to the seminars. You can enjoy going to the workshops and associating with people who are in the business that like it, and you like the same thing. We have something in common. Another guy I met was, we were leaving the racetrack, and he says, I've been using that, energy program. He says, I just can't make it work. He says, I'm not ever coming up here again. I'm going home and staying. The next day I was going to the racetrack, and who went, and I'm walking slow, you know. It's 45 minutes before post. This guy goes by me just charming. He's going back to get him again, you know. Because yesterday he lost. He felt so bad about it. But by 9 o'clock last night, the night before, he kind of pulled himself up a little bit, and he was feeling better. And early that next morning, he got up and had his breakfast, and he says, oh, I'll go get him today. All right, I got $50 here. I'll try him. Maybe I'll lose 50. But anyway, he's in a big hurry to get back to the racetrack. Now, that kind of personality has a problem to deal with, and you don't want to get involved in that kind of thing. If you relax, take it easy. Take what you learn here. Use it to your best advantage. Be flexible in your thoughts. Accept changes. Everything's going to work out fine. I thank you.
Now, the moment we've all waited for. Dick will choke to death on his diet coke. Making money can be fun. We have in our group some of the winningest players. Marion brought this up. We probably have the winningest number of people in the world. And yet, because we tell you you're not supposed to lose more than three in a row, the first time you do, you go to pieces. Not you specifically, but generic. Now, people who use other people's methods, who I know, who are not necessarily, they're not bad methods, they expect, in fact, the man who creates the method tells them, you may go 17 in a row, don't let that worry you. So they don't worry about it. Stun me, I have to open my big mouth and say you're not supposed to lose more than three in a row. So you get all panicky. But the smart guy says, hey, you can expect to lose up to 17 in a row, but in the long run, you'll make it. He was 36 the first time I heard him say that, and now in his 50s, and that long run hasn't quite merged yet, because there is, to a loser, there is no long run. A loser thinks, if you're losing, believe me, if I were losing, there'd be no long run. If any of us were losing, there'd be no long run. Because this is a business, short-term investment, it's a short term. We have to make it in the short run. Now Dick has a chalk-covered horse career, but he also has mastered the one thing that most of us, including myself, although I do it in a minor level, I do it properly, but I should be betting a whole lot more. I should be betting 200 or 300 a race, as he does, and as Marion does. Well, that's all right. But this man has compensated for any of his self-apprised lack of ability. I don't think it really exists. I think he has the ability. By absolutely following procedures. Now, the way he learned these procedures, and the way he responds to people who poo-poo his procedures is very humorous. So rather than give you the money management plan per se, I want to take a few pages out of the checkered life of Dick Schmidt, who was once, used to be known as Dick Mitchell, because he was...
That was before he went to prison for child molestation.
Yeah, he
was Dick Mitchell's number one. He was what Spencer Toner... He was to Dick Mitchell what Spencer Toner. He did everything. But unlike Spencer, he resented it. Of course, you don't resent it, do you, Spencer? Did that thing all right? Is it all right to give away? Oh, okay. We might have your problems solved. We have the political cartoonist for the Tulsa Tribune that year. We might have your problem solved. So I, without any further ado, I always, when I say I give you Dick Schmidt, I really mean I give you Dick Schmidt.
Howard. Yeah, I like that introduction. Here he is. He's going to be funny. He's going to talk about money management. That's like,
hey, let's talk about debt. Dick Schmidt's going to be really funny tonight.
How many of you really enjoy money management?
Show of hands. That's what I thought.
Okay.
I'm going to do money management on Sunday. That's my big party piece. Nobody else wants to talk about it, so I got elected. Can you hear me without this?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Whatever you say in the back. The back of the room always rules. And I've got a new wrinkle for money management this time that I just learned from another fellow that I think is kind of interesting.
So I'll share that with you on Sunday. But tonight, I just kind of like you to do a little self-examination. And unfortunately, after that introduction, it's not a lot of fun. It's hard to be funny when you're telling people to be critical of themselves. It's a lot easier to stand up here and tap dance across the stage and tell a few jokes and have some fun with you and leave you feeling good, and yet go back to the track tomorrow or Sunday, or whenever you go next, and get your brains beat out again, and wonder, but I'm doing what they told me, why don't I win? And the amazing answer to that is that most of you already do win, and just don't know it. How many of you in here actually keep money management records? And before you raise your hands, money management records, at a minimum, mean writing down every cent you put through the windows without exceptions forever.
Forever?
Up to now.
Up, yeah, I'm starting tonight, yeah. For the last few months. I'm talking about all the little funsy bets that you're sitting next to your best friend, and he says, hey, I'll split a dollar box with you on this try. We'll have some fun. We'll do some things here. That all gets written down. Now, let's see, we got a, this is a good group. Hey. Because I've done money management now for about 600 people, and to date, I've had three come back and tell me, hey, I tried it. It worked. Hey, what a surprise. Most people won't do it. How many of you, when you examine those records, find that you do better if you didn't bet exactas? Yeah. And how many of you stop betting exactas? That's what I thought. Yeah, come on.
Don't give me that stuff. You love those exotics. Wait a minute, I can't talk when I'm tied down. I gotta roam. I gotta work the audience. I'm supposed to be funny here.
Right.
All I can do is be funny to the front row. I'm sorry back there. I have to settle for the microphone. The exacta, I am truly convinced, is the downfall of more players than any other device ever invented by the racetrack. It's amazing. I mean, I ask people all the time, what would you rather do when one out of five for $20 or four out of five for $5 a shot? And they said, well, you bet five races, it all comes out to the same. But almost without exception, if you watch their actions and not what they tell you, they want that $20 hit. They want that big hit. There's an adrenaline rush. And adrenaline is a funny thing. You get addicted to it. A lot of people, if you ask them, they'll tell you, why do you go to the races? To make money. But that's really not the reason. If you look a little different, because if you went to the races to make money, you would optimize what you're doing and you just grind along. You all have jobs of one kind or another. This is mine. And this isn't going to the races. And you approach... takes to keep and thrive and prosper in that job. If you're self-employed, you're working for a tough boss. But if you're working for someone else, you keep him happy, whatever it may take. I hope it doesn't take what it takes to keep Brohammer happy, but that's okay. You just do it. You grind along and do whatever it takes. And yet you go to the races and you have professional aspirations. Show of hands again. I love shows of hands. How many of you have professional aspirations? You'd like to make or significantly augment your income at the racetrack? Yeah, everybody. How many of you want to do it for fun and forget the money? All right, that is perfectly legitimate. Please don't ever feel that it's not. Howard has a client who's an orthopedic surgeon in Wisconsin or someplace. The man pulls down about 700 large every year. $700,000 cutting bones. All right. Does he need the money from the races? No, I don't think so. He's doing just fine. His idea of relaxation is going to the track. Well, he told me that going to the track and relaxing was costing him about $40,000 a year. Ooh, that's a lot. You could, hey, listen, for $40,000 a year to relax, you ought to be doing more than sitting in a box, let me tell you. Hey, I mean, you know, come on. They ought to be rubbing up against you or something. Hey. This is, you know, we're talking serious relaxation. And he got energy and he studied and he worked a little bit when he had the time. Obviously, he doesn't have a lot of time. And he now breaks even. And he's a heavy hitter, you know, $800, $1,000 a race, many times. And he enjoys that level of betting, and he now breaks even. And he's happy as anything. He really thinks that's great. And for him, it is. He didn't want the money. His goal is different. So set a goal. Lady here said happiness. She just wants to enjoy the races. Well, it's not very enjoyable losing money. Agree? Yeah. Maybe a buck or two this way, buck or two there. You break even, you're happy. Write it down. You got a goal. Goal setting's important in any job. For the rest of you, write down a goal right now. Just write it down. And spit on a tablecloth if you want. Just write it down. Do it. You got 5 seconds. Write down a goal. 2, 3.
We'll give them a couple extra while you're
here. Okay, now for how many of you did your goal involve the humiliation and degradation of every other human being at the racetrack while you collected and they didn't? Yeah, pretty in the room, isn't it? Because that's one of his goals. That's okay. How many of your goals involve a number with a dollar sign in front of it? Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. That's what people think of in a goal. Do you care how you do it? Is there anybody who says, yeah, my goal is $50,000 a year, but if I have to bet show to do it, I'd rather not. Show is wimp betting. Only a wuss would bet show. I'd rather wear a skirt. No, I won't do that.
I get so brave when Purdy's out of the room.
It's wonderful.
Most of you don't care how you do it, and yet you go to the track and bet as if you do care. You go to the track and say, well, I've got to hit this exact, I've got to bet this double, got to get there. Stroking in like Marion. What do you want to bet that guy that's stroking the track 45 minutes early is saying, gotta hit the double, gotta hit the double, gotta hit the double. Why do you have to hit the double? One of those races is always garbage. Now today, I sat, and you probably saw me up here handicapping and did a little long when the boring stuff was going on, you know, Howard was talking. Boom. I get real brave when they're all out of the room. Yes, sir.
Joe's recording.
That's okay. Howard never listens.
I'll mark this one.
When I handicapped four races today. Got them all. Big deal. Did I bet them? No, I was here. So that's just the way it is. But the thing is, you wonder how many exactas I would have hit today? Zero. Well, I take it back. I'd have hit.